together the width, the length, the depth, and the height of love. So there's, for me, obviously so much more love of Jesus that I've yet to experience. So I want to just keep laying this foundation because it's all in the Bible. These are, we want it experiential, but it's all comes from truth. Truth brings transformation, brings freedom, and the Spirit of God always comes to empower the truth for the freedom. So we have Spirit, truth, always in tandem, and one leading to the other, and one sometimes truth leading us to experience, sometimes experience opening us to new truth. You can't dictate to God because he always knows better. Does that make sense? I'm learning more and more to say, Lord Jesus, what do you want to do? Because I don't know that I think, I may know what I think I don't know what you want to do. I want you to do what you want to do, right? So here we go. I'm going to use my little tablet, Jesus, up in the front, triumphant. We all know this scripture, John 3:16. And if you can put those up on the side, those are terrific. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So we have God and we have love and we have the world and we have believing. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about how love and faith work together in tandem. Then we go to Ephesians 5:25. And now we're speaking of Jesus. And we speak of Jesus' love for the church. God loved, so he gave his son. Jesus loved, so he gave himself. Through this gift of God giving his son, believing opened the door out of the world and into what now we are known as the called out ones, the church. Jesus, you see, it's the same gift. The same gift. God didn't give Jesus twice. He gave Jesus once. But in the giving of his son, it was so he could open the door for all of the world to come out of sin, degradation, destruction, hell, by faith in what God had done in raising his son. But his son, in giving himself in concert, in submission to the Father's will, gave himself for a bride, for a church, a glorious church. He wanted to have this, it was Ephesians 5:25. So he came and gave himself so that he could have a glorious church. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So Father loved the world and gave Jesus for the world, and Jesus loved who he saw would come in faith. He saw to the future, the joy set before him, and he gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of the water of the word. So one huge thing now is for love to be experienced, we have to believe. So for love to be experienced, we have to believe the gift given. See, when we give Christ, when we acknowledge to ourselves and in his presence that your gift of yourself is everything, then all the words you speak have the power behind the gift that we have received. So often what happens is we're caught in the conflict of the world and the wars, and we try to say, I don't feel God's love because of what I'm going through. I don't feel love, God's love because of what's happening to me. And so we turn our eyes away from what has been given and accomplished to what we're struggling with and trying to overcome. And without realizing it, we're instead of walking by faith, we start walking by sight. Instead of receiving what has been already accomplished, we start trying to change stuff that is temporarily anyway going to be there or not be there. It's not the issue. And the next thing you know, we're just pulled away. So look at the dynamic of Jesus and his coming. This is so huge. When Jesus came, he took the law and moved it into a whole other dimension, from an external something to an internal. He said, it's said in the law that you are to not hate your, you know, neighbor without a cause, or you're not to kill your neighbor. And he says, if you hate your neighbor, you've killed them. You're not to commit adultery, but if you've lusted after your neighbor, you've already done it. If it's in your heart, it's already been done. So basically, put us further into the guilt of the impossibility of holding that righteous standard. He also changed the whole dynamic of love. Before Jesus, we have two. We have a commandment. We have the first commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we are to love our neighbor, right? As how? As ourself. Okay, now watch this. Where's the love coming from? It's out of self-love, which is where we recognize if you don't love yourself, you're not going to have ability to give love to others. If you're not settled in having self-worth, how can you release worth to others? But this was the old. The new, Jesus comes along, and he makes his statement. New commandment. He actually calls it a new commandment. So this is the new. It's never been before. And he says, you are to love one another as, there's the as, I have loved you. So where's the love coming from here? Jesus, right? This love that we're actually been called to get to live out, give away, experience, is not love that comes from self. It's far beyond self-love and love for others as we love ourselves. This is love from being loved by Jesus. Does that make sense? I want to share two things, and God is so good about always helping us do the best we can. I mean, the Holy Spirit really, you can lose your track of things you're supposed to do. Like last Sunday, we started having the move of the Holy Spirit, and I forgot to let everybody know about Louise Thomas's passing and her memorial that was coming the following day. Beautiful 94 years of age in the glory of God. And we did that in Glendale, and I was so sad after Sunday was over because I knew others would want to know. Well, today, or Tuesday morning, Marilyn Norda passed into glory, fully into the place that God prepared for her in heaven, in Christ. And we'll be doing a memorial service a week from this Saturday, so that's the 27th, I think, at 11 a.m. in the service. And the reason I just remembered that was before the conference, the glory conference, I was talking to Richard for a moment, and he said, yeah, we're going to do the glory of God as seen in Christ, in God's love for us. And he said, you know, we often are trying to love God, but we can't. We need to ask God how much he loves us. So I was visiting Marilyn that evening, and Glenn. So it was right before the glory conference, and I'm driving home, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, that is that. What about love? I heard the Lord say, let me just start over. I'm going to change colors. He said, love is not need-driven. In other words, my need to be loved isn't what attracts love to me. My my place of separation and, you know, loneliness isn't what attracts love. Love is obedience given. Jesus said in John 10, 17 and 18, he said, no man takes my life from me. He said, my Father loves me because I lay down my life for the sheep. So he has, love is expressed toward me in my obedience to him, but no one's making me do what I'm doing. I am doing it unto him. And this is where faith and love begin to become so inseparable. So then I'm thinking, because I'm having this conversation driving home, and I'm going, okay, yeah, I get that. But then give me some scripture, which all of a sudden, Holy Spirit's always good to download a bunch of scriptures to substantiate that love is not, love, compassion reaches out to the need, but love is not commanded by need. Love is commanded by obedience. Love is commanded toward obedience because it's a faith-based love versus a need demanding love. We've all been in those moments where we want something so bad, it kind of like we send it away from us versus attracted to us. So then I'm filling up with gas on the way home, and the Lord talks to me about the commandment we just read, which is that the commandment that Jesus gives to love is found in John 13, 34 and 35. If you could find that, John 13, 34 and 35. And in this commandment, he says, this is a new commandment. So Jesus didn't do a lot of, you know, radical changes, except the ones he did were so radical that were all necessary. To believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and to love as he gave his commandment. That's the basic of the new covenant found in 1 John 3, I think. To believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and to love as he gave his commandment. And by this, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. No, that's 34. I want 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And I'm filling up gas, and the Lord said, you read that as a commandment that I'm asking you to bring forth something from yourself like I did from myself for someone else. Or for you. But you've been being trained now by me, Jesus talking, that you have nothing. Everything comes from me. So you can't love like I love unless you've been loved by me. You have to, so all of a sudden it changed. He's saying, I want you to receive my love so you can give it to others. I want you to be loved by me so you can love like me. Which is a powerful thing which we were doing there. We were loving God. We're always trying to love God. But again, we can only love to the degree we're receiving love. So we have to, by faith, accept the sacrifice is all sufficient. Christ is all sufficient. There's not anything we are facing that feels the sense of separation that love has not already conquered. But we have to believe that in the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, intercession is complete in order for the words that God will want to speak to give us the experience of love we need. See, the experience of love I need will come in the words he speaks to me in the moment I'm in. That's why we want visions. We want dreams. We want encounters in God. Because encounters in God jettison us into a place we cannot arrive at with will, emotion, or decision, or effort. It's something that it opens a door. I've been praying. Now I'm starting to go too many directions. So he says to me, you have to let me love you, and then you have to give my love away. You have to let me love you and then love as I loved you. So all of a sudden, we go to Ephesians 5, 25, if you'll take us there. Ephesians 5, 25. No, that's the wrong one. That's not your fault. That's my fault. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. He said, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. This is about the body. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So as we are hearing truth in love, and all, everything has to be in the love of Jesus, provision of himself, the non-condemnation, the inseparableness of your life in him and his life for us. It's just it's settled forever, eternal place. And then from whom, this is the head, I can draw pictures. This, why not? From him, the head, this happy Jesus, this love, this life source, this joy, this victory, this triumph, floods and fills the body. And then we, the body, it says, from whom the head joined together, we, the whole body joined and knit together. Now this is where we were just experiencing that, touching each other, connecting. And it'll get much more organically supernatural. It will happen without us trying to sort it all out and figure it out, because we can't do it from our head. It has to come from his head. But what happens is we then joined and knit together, which means we're compacted. It's the same thing as this, the living stones put together in the city, compacted as a dwelling place. We're compacted, and then every joint starts supplying according to the effect of working by every part doing its share. So no one's staying isolated. Everyone's giving away what they're carrying, and life is flowing. And what happens is it causes the body, the growth of the body, for the edifying self of love. So now all of a sudden, the body is growing up. Love is springing up from within the body. And that's why we get fullness of God. It's not just something that happens because it's so like from heaven, initiated by heaven, but then we respond. So we're speaking truth in love, we're growing up into him, he's the head. Head now releases new life, we are all coming alive in the place that we are, and we're releasing love to one another. We're releasing gifts. We're releasing prophecy, edification, encouragement, Christ. We're declaring and decreeing. And next thing you know, the cumulative effect is we start growing the body for edifying of itself in love. The body is not destructing itself. We're not in autoimmune. We're not in disease. We're all of a sudden in love. So the element of everything is love. So let me just finish really with a couple things. Go with me to Romans 8. Faith and love. Two important dynamics to practice. When actively functional, hope springs forth in freedom and incredible imagery, and you can all of a sudden see things you couldn't see. In Romans 8, though, there's something so powerful here. In Romans 8, chapter 31. So a lot of times our hope is diminished because our faith in Christ grows cold. It isn't vibrant. It's not fresh, alive, like, oh, everything you did is just what I need. And I don't know how to get what you did into where I am, where I need. But I know whatever you did is sufficient for what I need. So all I got to do is reach you. I got to just grow up into you. It's got to get into the head. I got to rise up inside that truth. I got to draw from you what you have given through what you did. I got to access healing, deliverance, righteousness, friendship, love, whatever it is, but it's in you. And when I touch that, then everything that you come, you not only affect me, but then I become now a spring to release that love and that life and that healing and that encouragement and that deliverance to someone else. And if I start that we start, the body starts just growing up in love. So he says, but it starts with faith. And it says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? When Father delivered up his son, this is the greatest gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He placed him as our sin offering. He did it. He put Jesus over us. Here we were. We were supposed to get the wrath of God. All this awful things were supposed to come and hit us. But he put Jesus over us, and so it all just went to Jesus. So he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up over us or for us all, how shall he not with him? Now here comes in the resurrection. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. He's no longer the only begotten. He's the firstborn. So now Jesus comes up, and with means joined. It means united or jointly united. Now we're compacted. Now we're connected. And we're connected to him with him. So this is the with, and this part is where we now are having, we're growing up into this likeness. We're growing up into, well, you rose from the dead, so we will raise from the dead. You are healed, so we are healed. You have victory, so now we get that victory. You're in triumph, so we're in triumph. So we're now having a co-union, a joint union. And when we believe that, see, that's a huge thing, because, you know, life doesn't look like that. Let's be honest. Does life look like God just going around going, hey, now that I took care of sin, I just want to give you wonderful stuff? It doesn't always look like that because it's being challenged. And the word give here is forgive and give. So it's not just, I'm going to give, see how you do with it, see if you do, if you earn some more, I'll give you more. It's just, I'm going to give and forgive, give and forgive. I'm just coming continually because you are Jesus and you. So we have three dynamics. Three crazy things. We have Christ over us. We are with him and in him. Now, this is where the possibility of learning this is, goes, your brain cannot do it. We have to do some of these things we just did. We have to sit in the presence, childlike, holding hands, singing, you know, it might feel like a campfire song, kumbaya. But something big and warm starts happening inside of us. And because what we're doing is we're taking a leap of faith. We're accepting what he did. And so then it says, who will bring a charge against God's elect? Because it's God who justifies. So all of a sudden, we have charges that are always coming against us. Which is like accusations, condemnations, and we have justification as the answer, which is now greater. Justification is greater than the charges. Then it says, who will condemn? It's Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who's even at the right hand of God. Verse 34, please. And he makes intercession. So now we have condemnation. The difference between condemnation and charges. Charges is when someone says, I am accusing you of what you did is wrong. Condemnation is when you've been convicted that what you were charged with was wrong and now you have to pay for it. Prison sentence, payment, repayment. So beyond charge, you're condemned. And how can you be condemned? Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. He is our glorification. He is our intercession. So we come to church, we feel what we're feeling, and Jesus is standing there going, oh, I just want you to pull. I want you to take all that I've done for you. We've got victory. We've got triumph. We've got access. We've got healing. Everything is yours, and I am here to cause an intersection moment. But then he goes on, and here's where we'll close. Who will separate us from the love of God? So it charges condemnation, and here's the place that the battle is all about. Separation. Separation literally means to have a room, not with a view, in between. Space. Literally. Separation from love. And he says, no way. The love of Christ. Remember? God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. We were living under the second highest commandment, which is to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Keep love alive. Keep it, keep flowing back and forth, giving and receiving. Get a healthy community. Now he comes in, steps in. God says, here's my Son's, my sacrifice. Jesus said, I'm willing sacrifice so I can have a bride. My love is so that I can have access, so I can speak life to you. And now I want you to love you who are my church. I want you to love like I've loved you. So let me love you so you can have that love flow out of you. And then now this love experience is obliterating the world. Will literally overwhelm every situation as everything tries to recreate separation. Because look at what he says. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. For it's written, your sake we're killed all day long. When you hear that, it sounds as though love is here to help us go through these awful things, which it does. But it's more to say, this love that now you are in cannot be broken off of you. You cannot be broken free from it. You cannot be separated from it. You are forever in this love. All these things, we're more than conquerors. Again, how? Through him who loved us. Love, when this love is, again, if life has to go good to know I'm loved, that's not a good picture. But if I'm going through some of that stuff, whatever it is, and God says to me, there is no way my love is separated from you. And I believe it. See, faith, then love. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. Love as he gave commandment. I believe that he is sufficient. Then I can, in every one of these moments, say, God, I need to have experience of love. I need to be connected inside of love here because I am right now 38. Neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, all of these things that now are, these are dynamics of the Spirit, height, depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So charges, it's awful to live under condemnation, accusation, or accusation charges. It's terrible when we feel like we're having to pay for something. You know, your life sucks because you made poor choices and God's mad at you. Such a lie. God is not mad at you. He doesn't have to be mad at you. He got mad at his Son. It's all paid off once. And then we feel like, oh, I just feel so, I feel isolated. I don't feel like I belong. That is coming into unbelief. And unbelief without the faith, the love can't be received. So the beautiful thing, what we were just doing, was we were letting God love us. And we're saying, what you have already done is sufficient for you to access me where I am. And by faith, I won't even have to change anything of what I'm going through to receive love and thereby then give love. And love then starts to rise amongst us. I mean, that's the coolest thing if you think about it. God said, I'm gonna love you, and then I just want you to all love like I love you. And that's how we're gonna grow the whole church. This is the simplest idea, but when God began to propose these things to me a few years ago, I just go, God, this is like you just it's suicide missions. It never works. Because I was thinking it was coming from me. I had to hold the level of love that was required to love like Jesus. But once I've started to go, no, I'm just supposed to receive Jesus' love and then love the give away the love I'm receiving, it made it like, okay, well, I can do that. One hand in heaven and one hand on earth. Does that make sense? I'm gonna pull. And when I understand the faith element, you have to look at your circumstances and say, you may be coming to separate me, but you're not going to. You cannot. God's love for me in Christ Jesus causes me to become inseparable from love no matter what I'm going through. Now, I might be walking through a high place or a low place. I might be walking through tribulation or going through persecution. But God's love is accessible and forever holding me. And once I'm allowing those moments to have intercourse in that setting, the love of God starts to shake apart the situation that would normally collapse me and suffocate. Let's stand together. I hope that wasn't too much teaching, but I think we're going to go into some incredible stuff coming up. We have been given permission and called to encounter Jesus in his glorious state so that we can be glorious in his sight. And there's going to be some quantum leaps of thinking and experience. So let's close like we did worship. Let's just ask, let's receive the love of God again, poured into our heart by Holy Spirit, by what Jesus did. And once you have faith that Jesus' gift is the supremacy of love forever in display, and it never is just a moment that got you in or a moment that's rescinded, it's a continuum of love toward us and sufficiency for us in all that was accomplished in his resurrection. And we just say, yeah, everything you did is enough for where I'm at. Everything you've done is enough for me. I can survive. I can not only survive, I can thrive. I can not only get through, I can overcome. I don't only have to try, I'm going to triumph. It's just because of what you've done. And when we're pulling, receiving, then in that, that's where Jesus starts speaking specifics to the moment, washing us with the water of his word. He starts saying, here's who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm saying. And those words become tender words of washing water of the word to make us fresh in the moment. Ha, fresh, fresh. Holy Spirit, fresh, fresh. Refresh us. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, in the voice of the Lord speaking. Whoa. And Lord, we believe that in this experience, once the connection is received, which it can never be broken, so it's just rediscovered, then the love can flow toward others. And we believe that we can love like Jesus because we're being loved by Jesus. And we're going to allow you to love us extravagantly so we can go around loving each other extravagantly. And we're not putting our eyes on ourselves, because it's not coming from us, it's coming from Jesus. And we're not going around and putting demands on others, love me, love me, love me, because the only one that can love us is Jesus. So we're going to the source of love, Christ, Christ's love, Christ's love. We may get separated and lose each other at the mall, but we are never lost in Jesus Christ. And love finds us, and then that love flows from us. So in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, you've done so much tonight. Whoa, whoa. Seal what you have said and what you're saying and secure us in the continual growing of truth in our spirit man. Open the eyes of our understanding to enlighten, to know what is this hope of your calling, what are the riches of your glory and inheritance, and what is the surpassing greatness of your power toward us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Oh, thank you.